worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Then looking briefly at a portion of Romans chapter 12. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Verses 1 through 5, Romans chapter 12. Lord, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the wisdom, the counsel, the power that rests upon your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is an accurate guidebook that helps us know your will, your word, and what you've called us to do and what you've called us to be. And you've called us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of courage. Empower us to be courageous believers who are fully committed to hearing your word and obeying your word. And Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that you've called us all to be faithful witnesses for Christ Jesus every day of our lives. And you've called us also to stand boldly for life in this world as well. Help us to discern your specific call upon our lives and help us to be faithful to carry it out fully and entirely. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your provision. Thank you so much for being warrior God. And thank you so much for fighting for us. Father, I ask that you'd grow us in strength and grow us in boldness and grow us in courage, that we could step out and fight the good fight, Father. But we know that we can't win the fight. Father, we fight, we stand on the front lines, and we do the good work, but the victory is yours, the growth is yours, the fruit is all yours, Father. Thank you so much for giving us your grace, for giving us your mercy, for giving us your peace, and for being a present and loving God. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are honored to have two phone guests with us, Sister Stephanie Jacobson and Connie Pavlik. Both of them are faithful servants of Christ and bold pro-life warriors as well. Stephanie and Connie, how are you all today?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Great to have each of you with us today. And I'm going to ask Stephanie, if you'll start off, if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself, and then Connie will have her to introduce herself as well.
Yes, thank you so much for having us on today. We are honored to just be able to speak with your listening audience. And, you know, I have a story, and I think Connie's going to give a bit of her story in a bit, but our stories include something that the subject may be a bit sensitive and might invoke or trigger some emotions in people because it is about abortion. But we're also going to be talking to people about, you know, why we fight this fight and to let them know that they are not alone. So I would encourage the listening audience just to be able to put down any inhibitions or anything that they might feel and just let the Lord speak to your heart today and mind, and know that we're going to give some resources at the end and probably during the middle. But I am a warrior that God has called, and I loved your verses this morning. They hit home with me so much because the first one was one of talking about the wars that we're dealing with spiritually and even physically, and it's definitely been that for me in my life, and I've fought the fight of abortion from an aspect of having had two abortions. I actually have been a citizen activist in Missouri, Texas, and the state that I live in now, which is Florida, and I've even been to the Supreme Court and fought some things there. But I have five children, and I just had my 15th grandchild, so I'm very blessed that God has given me, you know, he tells us that he will give you beauty for ashes, and decisions that I've made in my life hasn't always looked the best or been the best, but God has been faithful to his word, and he has been a tremendous stronghold for me. He has been that advocate for me as I've grown and let him, you know, lead my life in a way that he is Lord and Savior. I guess I will tell you a little bit more of my story, because this is how we're going to lead into the rest of our into the rest of our programming. But, you know, I was raised in a very, very loving home, and my folks took me to church and taught me about Jesus, and I did know him personally, and I felt safe. I had a safe childhood, but abortions aren't supposed to happen in those kinds of families. I mean, that's just, you know, we don't think about that. But life took a detour I never saw coming. I was in Kansas City, Missouri, and I was in my teens. And I had my first abortion at 16, and it was a clinic, and I remember being in this tiny sterile room, and the woman asked me, who was in charge of educating me about the procedure, I asked her if I could go get my boyfriend, who was waiting in the car, and I wanted him to hear what she was saying, because, like I said, I was 16, I was alone, and I was afraid. And she told me, she said, you won't need him, because this is your choice, and he can't help you with this now, but we can. And I'll tell you that that's the same thing they're telling women now, is that nobody else has any right to tell you what to do or has, you know, but that young man, it was his child as well. And the men are suffering, but we don't acknowledge that. But he was in the car, and she was very explicit when she said she slid a speculum across the desktop, and she was telling me what the process of what they were going to do to take that tissue from my body. And I just didn't understand it. It didn't make sense. Abortion is a decision between a woman and her doctor, is what she told me. But to be clear, I never saw or discussed my pregnancy, my benefits, my risks, or any alternatives of either abortion procedure with any doctor. And my second abortion was actually at KU Medical Center. So I had a clinic, and then I had a medical center. And then she told me abortion was safe. But I'll tell you that death was not safe, a safe choice for my children. And Pastor, the aftermath of those abortions was something that was never, ever mentioned in that tiny sterile room. I suffered with depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts that eventually they all led me at about the age of 27 to a misdiagnosis of bipolar. Anger was one of my symptoms, and it plagued me for 40 years until I realized by running into some people that were willing to kind of help me through it, and a Bible study that I went through, that the truth was it was unresolved grief for my children. You know, we wonder why this nation is so angry. We hear anger in a lot of women that have had abortions. But when we don't value life, nothing has value, because God created life within the woman. And when you've had that taken from you in a very drastic way, even though it was my own choice at the time, along with my boyfriend at the time, and he actually became my husband, and we lasted for, 33 years, and then he left. So there's consequences from these abortions that we don't know anything about until we've lived it. But again, when we don't value it, nothing has value. But I have Liam Elias and Victoria Isabel, and I named my children. And you may ask me, why did you name someone you didn't ever see? And the reason I did is because they existed and they have personhood. So God created those babies, and they're, by God's grace, they're an eternal being, and they are with him. And I know that the scriptures talk about, it with David, and that he couldn't be with them now, but he would go to him at some point. So I'm thankful that the Lord has given us promises as we go along when we've made these decisions that definitely are not godly, but his grace has been, and his mercy has been, so beautiful that I live with joy in my heart now, because I know that he has forgiven me much. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to kind of, set the stage for what we're going to be talking about today. And I would invite Connie to introduce herself now and maybe give a little bit of her testimony, if that's okay.
Well, we're coming up on a break, and so we're going to, on the other side of the break, we'll pick up, and Connie will come forth and share as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests today are Stephanie Jacobson and Connie Pavlik, two pro-life warriors on the battlefield of life. We'll be right back.
Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see all of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing that He is alive, shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is the light, He is the light for all the world to see.
The music of Brian and Katie Torwalt, He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Stephanie Jacobson and Connie Pavlik. They're two pro-life warriors involved in the work of Standing for Life Boldly. And just before Connie comes, I want to ask Stephanie, would you pray for listeners, especially women that may be listening who might be have been on a similar journey as you went through, Stephanie, or they may be there right now. Would you pray for them at this time?
Absolutely. Thank you. Oh, Father, You are mighty. You are our God, Father. You are the I am that I am. And I am so honored, Lord, to just know that You have made this moment for women and men that have been harmed by this this act of abortion, Father, whether they chose it on their own or they were forced or, given ultimatums, Lord, that they had to do it for a reason, coerced into it. Jesus, You are with them right now. I ask for You to put Your hands on them. Let them feel Your presence. Let them know that You are real and that Your word does not lie or come back void when You say that You are our healer. It says by Your stripes on Your back that You bore on the cross that we are healed. And Father, I believe with all my heart that that isn't just physical healing, that's emotional healing, that's sexual healing, that's all of these different areas that people, and especially women, that have gone through this act. Father, we know that the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy anything that is to do with being an image bearer of God. We have a privilege to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So, Father, I ask right now that the enemy be cast out and just destroyed in this moment for these men and women in the name of Jesus, but by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, that the women would rise up and be able to speak truth about their abortions and then be able to speak truth to others. Father, we know that that's where true healing comes, is when we can speak about the very thing that caused the biggest pain and heartache and darkness in our life, Lord, the things that You're going to heal these women from. And if they are healed, Father, give them strength to speak. I ask this all, and I ask a prayer and blessing over the rest of this time with these women and men in this audience. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Connie, if you could go ahead and share your story as well, please.
Okay. Good morning, and thank you for, the privilege of being able to speak with you and to your listeners about this subject. And Lord, I just am so excited because I think that the more people hear about it, the more they understand, the more they can rationalize that this is a sin just like any other sin, and that there's no difference between, what we've chosen and what, somebody else might have done. So I'm Connie, and I live on the Treasure Coast of Florida. I am director of Redeeming Freedom, and that's a post-abortion ministry of CareNet of the Treasure Coast. I've been the director now for 5 years. And my story starts with me being pregnant at 17. I went to a Planned Parenthood, and the only option they presented was abortion. According to them, being 12 weeks gestation, I was running out of time. There was no discussion or other options offered. I know at that time that there was no parental consent needed for an abortion in Vermont. And Vermont was one of the states that was very in the forefront of bringing abortion into the Constitution to begin with, as well as New York. So I went to the doctor's office, and again, there was no education of my health care discussed. Neither of these facilities asked for my parental consent, or for my parents' consent. The doctor sedated me, and then I was no longer pregnant. I didn't really remember any of it. I do remember coming out of the office, kind of still under medication, and having my boyfriend at the time say to me, "I can't believe you killed my baby." And that was a time when it just kind of really settled in my soul that that was a horrible thing that I did. So I received no aftercare from that. And then I began to clot profusely. The pain was really horrible. I wanted to go to the ER, but no phone or car. I didn't have a phone or car at the time, and that meant that I would have to tell my parents, but I just felt like I couldn't. Eventually, the clotting and pain stopped, and I did heal physically. For a while, everything seemed fine, but soon, even I didn't know who I was. Abortion caused me moral injury. So I do some trainings with CareNet for the post-abortion ministry. And in 2021, I came across an article written by Dr. Shea. He defined moral injury, and I found similarities to post-abortion syndrome in his findings. The article, "Moral Injury, an Increasingly Recognized and Widespread Syndrome," located at the National Library of Medicine, is a good overview of those that have shared findings on moral injury. It can be defined as damage done to one's conscience, excuse me, or moral compass when that person perpetrates, witnesses, or fails to prevent acts that transgress one's own moral beliefs, values, or ethical code of conduct. So this goes way back to even 416 BC, where Euripides referenced it being caused by unjust killing. I related this term moral injury, I related to it because it was an act of moral transgression which induced shame, guilt, and a lot of anger. I drank more and had sex with complete strangers to try to wipe away the pain that I was dealing with. But I pushed all that aside. I moved to Florida, and I didn't really associate the things that were happening to me to my abortion at that time. But not long ago, I was able to gain freedom through repentance and find healing through an abortion, post-abortion study, Bible study, which led me to become a director of a post-abortion ministry where I can help heal through God's grace, help women heal through walking through the Bible study with them. And that healing is available in many ways, and I encourage people to reach out, and Stephanie will be talking about that more, H3 Helpline and their phone coaches are very compassionate, and they have a very good ministry going there. So to me, abortion is not healthcare. Abortion is only a violation of life. And I know that through God's grace, He has brought me through the healing. He has brought me to a place where I can help others. And I know that I could never do that without his salvation and me knowing who he is and how much he loves me as his child. So with that being said, I think Stephanie can talk more into how people can find healing and hope.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, was there a ministry helpline that either one of you were encouraging listeners to be mindful of?
Yes. I am with a ministry called H3 Helpline, and I'm going to give that number now, and I'll give it at the end as well.
Okay.
That number is 866-721-7881, and every woman that answers the phone has had an abortion, and it's a confidential 24/7, 365, so it does not matter what time of day or what day you call us. Someone's going to answer that line, and okay. It may be the first time that somebody tells their story, and obviously confidentially. I've had over 700 phone calls from women in the last 3 or 4 years that I've been on the helpline.
Okay.
And I've had every kind of phone call that you could imagine. We're getting a lot more with the chemical abortion where they're in the middle of their abortion in their bathrooms and they don't want to go through with it. So we've been able to get them the abortion reversal pill and save some of those babies that way. We just had that happen not too long ago. So we do a lot of work that way, but I have a lot of women that have already been through abortion, and we're able then to get them back to the ministries like Connie handles, which is the Redeeming Freedom in their area, or we also have virtual help that we can get them on a, you know, on a helpline or a Bible study through the computer,
right,
which is as helpful. It really does. It helps these women dig down into, you know, why they did it and what God's healing power looks like in something like this. And
well, Stephanie,
they're not alone.
Stephanie, could just before you kind of move forward with that, I wanted to ask if Connie would pray for women that maybe have been down a similar road. You know, her in some ways, her testimony was similar to your Stephanie, but at the same time, hers went in some other directions as well. Connie, would you pray for women that may be listening now, and then we're going to go right back to Stephanie then, okay?
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just lift up to you all these women who have had abortions, Lord, the ones that are contemplating abortion, the men who are involved in the decisions, Lord. I pray for their hearts and their ears to just be open to listening to the education side of things, to listening to, you know, hearing just the moral injury of this act, Lord. There's just so much deep, deep hurt that happens with abortion and the trauma from it. And I don't wish that upon anybody, Lord. I pray that listeners will be able to reach out to friends or someone that maybe has confided in them, that this can just go out into the community, Lord, that your words and your warnings, Lord, of how abortion hurts women and men can go out into the community and just permeate that area. And so I pray fervently for an end to abortion, but yet in the midst of where we are right now, Lord, that it has to be one step at a time. So I pray for Amendment 4, that will be demolished, and that this will come to light in so many minds and so many places, churches, in government, in all these areas, Lord, that people are believing the lie of the enemy. I pray for eyes to be open, for the blinders to come off of people, and just for you to just really penetrate this area of abortion. And I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Connie. All right. Well, Stephanie, we're almost at another break, but if you can go ahead and get started. But you were going to share about a couple different ballot amendment issues that are coming up. Would you dive right in to share about those?
Absolutely. There are 10 states right now that are battling a ballot amendment that's going to be on the ballot, and I would encourage everyone. Those states are Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Maryland, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New York, and South Dakota. And if you heard your state in that list, please be aware, and I'm going to give you a little bit more of an education on what's in those ballot amendments, because they are written by one entity, and all the lawyers are the same, and they're coming in from the same sources. So what I say about one state is actually going to be able to be utilized in all the other states. So if you've heard your state in that list, please feel free to reach out to us. I'll give you that information at the end, but also, you know, be educated so that you can tell others, because it's already happened in 7 states. They've already codified abortion up to birth in 7 states across this nation.
Stephanie, I'm going to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Music from Planet Shakers with The Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Stephanie Jacobson and Connie Pavlik. Both of them are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and prayer and pro-life warriors on the battlefield. Stephanie, if you'll pick up right there where you left off, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to go back and talk a second about what codify means. Codify is an enshrining or a putting into the Constitution. So they are going to put language into the Constitution of each of these states that will change the Constitution or the base law for our states that this is on. And what that means is there's what the amendment is evil, deceptive, and dangerous. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what the deceptions are. There's 3 main deceptions. They write the language. When you go into the ballot box, I'm going to say people that are not pro-life, so pro-choice people, write very deceptive laws or very deceptive language to go onto the ballot, so it confuses us. And confusion is not of the Lord. It is not of God. And so just be prayed up before you go in and be educated. Be educated about, in each state, it's going to be a different number. So in Florida, it's Amendment 4. I know in Missouri, it's Amendment 3. But Amendment 4 in Florida, so this is the same across the board for all the states. It will make abortion legal through the pregnancy all the way up to birth. And each of these states would become a destination state for abortion all the way up to the birth when this baby could come out of the womb and live. And we know that they don't always stop right at birth. So this could make it where they would be able to take the life of the child even after. But right now, it's abortion up to birth. The second problem that we have with these amendments is the parental consent for minors would be gone on this issue. So a minor could have an abortion with only a parent being notified through email or maybe a phone call. And most of these girls going in that are under the age of, of consent, of their own consent, you have to have parental consent. We have laws on our books now. Like Connie said that she didn't have parental consent, neither did I. But we're from the old school. Mine was 45 years ago. But now we've got laws on the book that protect women and children from people being able to go in, and even traffickers taking women in and forcing them, if they're underage, they have to have consent from a parent. And that would take away all of those laws that have been, the regulatory laws that have been on the books for however long this has been going on, since 1973, that we've been fighting this fight recently. And so it would take away that consent. So that's big. Parents want to be able to consent or to deny their children to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. The third thing is very confusing. They do not tell us what they mean by healthcare professional. They don't say it's a doctor. They don't say it's an OBGYN. They say healthcare professional. In all of these different states, healthcare professionals can be identified as a massage therapist or a massage therapist, they could be identified as a school nurse. They could be identified as the healthcare provider that's at the front doing the intake forms. They could actually, believe it or not, perform these abortions. And now they can give them abortion pills, so they're not actually physically doing it, but up to 10, 11 weeks, they can abort these babies in their own home, which is traumatic and devastating, and it does things to these women that you can't even imagine when they see their babies in their own home and they don't know what to do with them. I've had those phone calls as well. So I know that sounds gruesome, but it's the truth that's happening in our nation right now. And one of the scenarios that could possibly take place is a young lady being in high school or something that's sexually active. She doesn't know she's pregnant. She doesn't feel well. She goes to the nurse's station, that nurse's desk, and that nurse would have the right to give that child an abortion pill and without the parental consent. Now, you can't have a cough drop at school without a parental consent, but this amendment would make it okay for a parent not to know that their child had been given an abortion pill by a school nurse or someone else that's a healthcare professional that doesn't really have the right, in my mind, to do that as a parent. This is not only abortion without any restrictions. It's not only taking the life of the baby human in the womb, but this will harm so many women. And I will just say that the pro-choice side of things and people that believe that abortion is okay, their mantra for years has been that it's healthcare for women. And Pastor, it is not healthcare for women. We know that it took the life of our children, but now we're understanding after this many years that it is definitely detrimental to the women as well. And we want women to know that they're not alone in this. This fight is, it's confidential, but I would encourage them to come forward and, you know, call our helpline. Again, it's confidential, and that number again is 866-721-7881. And, you know,
repeat the number one more time, please.
Yes, sir. It's 866-721-7881.
Okay, and share.
You know, 65 million. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Share one more time what exactly that hotline is for.
Yes, that is called H3 Helpline, and it is a confidential 365-24-7 confidential phone line that men and women can call, women and men can call. And when we answer, you're talking to someone who's had an abortion, and we're able to speak with them, listen to them, set with them in the moment, and then give them resources that will help them find the help, hope, and healing that we know that we've been delivered and that we know that is possible for these men and women. And we do have men on our helpline as well. So we do have men that can speak to them, the men as well. So it's not just women. But we have the men call the men back. So you will get a woman when they answer the phone. But I also am with
that's one of the things that I love, Stephanie, is that the PRCs and the post-abortion work that we do at Treasure Coast CareNet, we do include men in this healing and include men in the crisis pregnancy as well, because men really are not being noticed in this area. And so bringing them into the picture really helps to support the woman, and they have trauma from abortion too, because they didn't hold up their end of they didn't stand for their child.
Didn't take a strong stand for their child.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and one of the other things I wanted to mention is that we are really wiping out a generation of people mm-hmm. in our country by having all these abortions, because the numbers, and I think Stephanie was ready to say that, is like 65 million abortions have happened. Mm-hmm. And so we're literally taking out a generation of people.
Well, Stephanie and Connie, our time is just about gone here, but thank you all so much for coming on and sharing. And if persons listening are wanting to find out more specifically about the initiatives, the ballot amendment that they'll be voting on in their specific state, you know, because different states may state it in such a way where in some cases you may have to vote one way or another, how can they do that?
Well, actually, I can give them my email, and they want to contact me. I can help them find that.
Okay.
And also, I'll give that right now. It's Stephanie TC, which is Treasure Coast. So Stephanie TC62 at gmail.com.
Spell Stephanie.
And that, yes, Stephanie, and then TC. 62@gmail.com. You can also go online, and each state will have a ballot initiative. And normally, if you'll put in there what state you're in and then put abortion amendment, it mm-hmm. will come up different organizations, and you can look at it from each state. I know that in Florida, it's No on 4.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you again, and I would encourage every listener that has questions, please email Stephanie at the email that she mentioned, because there may be many questions that people may have. But thank you again, Stephanie and Connie, for being with us today. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never invited Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life and invited him to save you, today is a good day to make that very, very important step. If you'd like to make the step of committing your heart and your whole life to Christ, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please email us. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Again, Stephanie and Connie, thank you all so much for being with us. Connie, would you share that email address one more time if people want more information about this topic?
It's Stephanie, STEPHANIETC62@gmail.com.
All right. And thank you all so much for being with us today, and keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.